at www.huntertonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Nobody ever told me that politics was going to be so much fun.
President Trump last night at a reception at the White House for U.S. senators and their spouses. The president talks about bipartisanship making positive change for America.
We have a very, very impressive group here to celebrate the start of a new era in American energy and production and job creation.
No injuries reported after a violent incident near the U.S. Capitol. Shots reportedly fired after a suspect struck a Capitol police cruiser and then tried to run over officers on foot. This woman witnessed the incident.
A number of police cars speeding by, past us, coming down this hill, and our driver was watching in his rearview mirror to see what was going on, and he said, "She's running, she's running."
Police say it was not terrorism related. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey there, it's Angie Austin. All right, you know I care about my family's health, and I know you do too. Did you know that there's a Harvard study out that shows that 33 states have unsafe levels of harmful toxins in their drinking water? And a report from the Environmental Working Group warned that 218 million Americans are exposed to cancer-causing tap water. So we use the Alexa Pure Pitcher. You can go to waterwithangie.com, waterwithangie.com, or 888-440-8150, 888-440-8150, and you can get this Alexa Pure Pitcher. We use it. The water tastes delicious, and it reduces up to 99.9% of 92 contaminants. You know, the really bad stuff that can, you know, kill you, like lead, chromium-6. Also gets rid of chlorine, pesticides, pharmaceutical drugs, and more. Order yours today, 888-440-8150, 888-440-8150, or waterwithangie.com, and it tastes delicious.
American military leaders in Iraq say it's possible the U.S. was part of an airstrike in Mosul that killed civilians. Chris Barnes has this story.
The top U.S. commander in Iraq conceding the U.S.-led coalition may have had a role in the explosion that killed dozens of civilians in Mosul, but the investigation continues into that March 17th blast that happened in a district where U.S.-led coalition airstrikes have been trying to help Iraqi forces clear out ISIS fighters. Investigators are also looking into the chance that explosives rigged by ISIS may have actually caused the explosion that leveled buildings and killed as many as 200 people who may have been used as human shields. I'm Chris Barnes.
Heads are rolling with a change in leadership at the Democratic Party headquarters. The Democratic National Committee has asked all of its current staffers to submit resignation letters by next month. Party officials actually made the request shortly after Tom Perez was elected as the new party chairman last month. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. Scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. You know what doesn't make sense? If a car is called a horseless carriage, why isn't a motorcycle called a horseless horse? Maybe it would just be adding insult to injury for the out-of-work horses.
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
A new law proposed in Arizona aimed at helping Good Samaritans rescuing kids or pets from hot cars. Jason Campadonia has the details.
It's being called the Good Samaritan Bill and is currently waiting for a vote in the Arizona House of Representatives. The proposed bill states that if someone sees a kid or a pet in a hot car, they can call the police first, then break the window for rescue purposes if they believe the pet or the child is in danger. The bill has already cleared the Senate, and Governor Doug Ducey has indicated that he'd sign it if it lands on his desk. Jason Campadonia, Phoenix.
If you're one of the people who actually watched the movie We Bought a Zoo and thought, boy, I'd really like to do that, you've got the opportunity. Here's Mark Mayfield.
One is for sale outside Houston for just $7 million. The zoo's 80-year-old owner says it's time to retire, and he wants to hand it over to someone who's willing to keep his animals safe. The 30-year-old Bayou Wildlife Zoo features 500 animals, including giraffes, zebras, a white rhino, ostriches, alligators, kangaroos, and ring-tailed lemurs, among others.
The nation's electricity grid, oil and gas pipelines, and other energy infrastructure could be compromised by dated digital systems. This is a new report by MIT's Internet Policy Research Initiative, and it finds those systems are very vulnerable to hackers. Since most of those systems are privately owned, the report suggests tax breaks for improving security. It calls for mandatory minimum security standards for critical infrastructure components. USA Radio News.
It's unclear whether it was an accident or something more serious, but a police spokeswoman just said they don't believe there was a nexus with terrorism and that it was simply a criminal incident. President Trump uses his pen yesterday to take some new actions, rolling back some Obama-era regulations.
The action I'm taking today will eliminate federal overreach, restore economic freedom, and allow our companies and our workers to thrive.
Democrats are livid at the
like lead, chromium 6, chlorine, pesticides, pharmaceutical drugs, and more. Go to waterwithangie.com or call 888-440-8150, 888-440-8150, or waterwithangie.com. And you know, 33 states, a Harvard study shows 33 states have unsafe levels of harmful toxins in the drinking water. If you care about your health and the health of your kids, your spouse, you should be outraged. And while the communities and states attempt to get their acts together to get us the clean water we need, there is this safe alternative now. My family uses it. The water tastes absolutely delicious. It's the Alexa Pure Pitcher, 888-440-8150 or waterwithangie.com.
Defiance from Democratic Mayor of Chicago Rahm Emanuel, who vows his city will stand with other cities as safe harbors for immigrants in the face of a Justice Department threat to cut federal funds to sanctuary cities. David Stewart reports from Chicago.
Mayor Emanuel says Chicago and other sanctuary cities are on firm legal ground to prevent the Justice Department from financially punishing them for not helping with deportation. Emanuel says their threat to take money away is hollow, since the Justice Department itself is losing funds.
And I find it a little ironic. They said they're going to withhold monies on public safety. Did you look at the president's budget he introduced? He actually cut the Justice Department. So this is kind of like, in my view, a bit of a joke in that sense.
Emanuel says Chicago will remain welcoming to immigrants.
Meanwhile, the nation's biggest police unions warning President Trump not to cut federal grants to sanctuary cities. Fraternal Order of Police Executive Director Jim Pascoe says they don't like sanctuary cities, but cutting that funding could hurt police departments. This is USA Radio News.
From Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham comes Facing Darkness. In 2014, as the Ebola virus was devastating West Africa, international relief organization Samaritan's Purse stepped up.
God has called us to care for the dying, to care for those that are suffering. Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire. We don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, a true story of faith. In select cinemas for one night only, Thursday, March 30th. For theaters and tickets, go to facingdarknessmovie.com. That's facingdarknessmovie.com.
All Democratic National Committee staffers have been told to submit their resignations as the party organization looks to remake itself after losses in November's elections. NBC News reports party officials made the request last month, shortly after the election of Tom Perez to be the new DNC chief. Committees to decide which, if any, staffers will be then asked to come back and what other changes need to be made. About 200,000 people still without power in Texas hours after storms rumbled through overnight, and most are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. That took the brunt of the onslaught. The storms damaging homes, knocking down trees, and causing a lot of car wrecks across the Lone Star State. Cat owners, here's a bulletin. Researchers say your pet wants your attention more than it wants to eat, but it's pretty close, as Mark Mayfield explains.
A new study by Oregon State University debunks the notion that cats are antisocial. The researchers deprived 50 cats of food, attention, toys, and scent for several hours. When the cats were reintroduced to these four stimuli and given a choice of which to have first, their top choice was human affection. Food came in second.
And less than 2 weeks after the death of Chuck Berry, one of his albums is on the charts. Berry's The Definitive Collection is in the top 40 of the Billboard 200, the first album by the rock and roll icon to make the top 40 since 1972. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to Good Morning, 100. Chamberradio.com. A little BB King.
The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away.
I don't know if the thrill is gone, but BB makes it sound
you know
that way.
You done me wrong, baby.
We have plenty to talk about, and first thing we usually do on someday. The second hour is we do a little Today in History. Let's delve into a little history from history.com for September 16, 2015. The lead story is 1932. On this day, in his cell at Yerovda Jail near Bombay, Mohandas Gandhi begins a hunger strike in protest of the British government's decision to separate India's electoral system of caste. An iconic move that represented a lot of the historical things that Gandhi did. In 1776, General George Washington arrives at Harlem Heights. On the northern end of Manhattan, it takes command of a group of retreating Continental troops. The day before, 4,000 British soldiers had landed at Kipps Bay in Manhattan near present-day 34th Street. Wonder if they were taking in the site of the Empire State Building. or going to the Madison Square Garden and taking control of the island, driving the Continentals north, where they appeared to be in disarray prior to Washington's arrival. 1908, on this day, Buick Motor Company head William Crapo Durant spends $2,000 to incorporate General Motors in New Jersey. Durant, a high school dropout, had made his fortune building horse-drawn carriages, and in fact, he hated cars. He thought they were noisy, smelly, and dangerous. Nevertheless, the giant company he built would dominate the American auto industry for decades. 1950, on this day, Soviet representatives condemn an essay written writing contest sponsored by the United Nations. The incident, thought small, indicated that the Cold War was as much a battle of words as war of bombs and guns. It was in 1950 the Public Information Department of the United Nations hit upon an idea to stir interest among young people in the world of the United Nations, an essay contest. The theme of the contest was the veto. The question posed to the contestants was, has the rule of unanimity, the veto, prevented the United Nations from functioning in the political and security field? The question referred to the fact that the resolution in the UN's Security Council, which handled most important political and security issues, had to be approved by each of the so-called Big Five nations: the United States, the Soviet Union, Great Britain, France, and nationalist China. One negative vote by any of these nations would veto any action on the resolution. It was a particularly timely topic because in June 1950, the Korean War began when Communist North Korea invaded South Korea. The United States immediately asked the Security Council to approve the use of UN forces to repel the North Korean attack. The resolution passed only because the Soviet Union was absent that day in protest of the exclusion of the Communist China from the United Nations. In 1845, Phineas Wilcox is stabbed to death by fellow Mormons in Nauvoo, Illinois, because he believed to be a Christian spy. The murder of Wilcox reflected the serious and often violent conflict between the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the surrounding communities. Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormon Church in 1830, had been living with his followers in Missouri, where they had various conflicts with locals, including the armed skirmish with the state militia. And in 1838, Governor Lilburn Boggs signed a military order directing that the Mormons be expelled or exterminated. The Mormons must be treated as enemies and must be exterminated as driven from the state, if necessary for the public good. Wow. 2013, it's sad that something as recent as this makes today in history, but it was on this day a 34-year-old man goes on a rampage at the Navy Yard in Washington, D.C. He killed 12 people and wounded several others over the course of an hour before he is fatally shot by police. Investigators later determined that the gunman, Aaron Alexis, a computer contractor for a private information technology firm, had acted alone. 1978, an extremely deadly earthquake rocks Iran, killing more than 25,000 people. The 7.7 magnitude quake struck the northeastern part of the country, an area that has traditionally seen much seismic activity. 1620, most of us remember it landing, but very few remember us it sailing from Plymouth, England, and that's the Mayflower. It was bound for the New World with 102 passengers. The ship was headed for Virginia, where the colonists, half religious dissenters and half entrepreneurs, had been authorized to settle by the British Crown. However, stormy weather and navigational errors forced the Mayflower off course, and on November 21st, the Pilgrims reached Massachusetts, where they found the first permanent European settlement in New England in late December. Funny, what would it have been like if they had actually arrived in Virginia? How would the country have been affected? In 1810, Miguel Hidalgo y Castilla, a Catholic priest, launches the Mexican War of Independence with the issuing of his Grito de Dolores, or Cry of Dolores, the revolutionary tract so named because it was publicly read by Hildego at the town of Dolores, called for the end of 300 years of Spanish rule in Mexico, redistribution of the land, and racial equality. Thousands of Indians and mestizos flocked to Hidalgo's banner of Virgin of Guadalupe, and soon the peasant army was on the march towards Mexico City. 1993, holy cow, it's 22 years ago, Frasier, a spinoff of the long-running mega-hit series Cheers, makes its debut on NBC. It will go on to air for 11 seasons and win multiple Emmy Awards. Frasier star Kelsey Grammer as the erudite, snobbish Dr. Frasier Crane is a radio psychiatrist who relocates from Boston to his hometown of Seattle following the breakup of his marriage. The main characters in Frasier's life are his father, Martin, a down-to-earth retired cop, his younger brother, Niles, a psychiatrist who shares Frasier's taste for the finer things in life, his father's kooky caretaker, Daphne, his radio show producer, Roz, and his father's dog, Eddie. That was a pretty good show, wasn't it? In 1893, on this day, the largest land run in history begins with more than 100,000 people pouring into the Cherokee Strip of Oklahoma to claim valuable land that had once belonged to the Native Americans. With a single shot from a pistol, the mad dash began, and land-hungry pioneers on horseback and in carriages raced forward to stake their claim to the best acres. Could you imagine doing something like that today? My goodness. 1940, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signs the Selective Service and Training Act, which requires all male citizens between the ages of 26 and 35 to register for the military draft. Beginning on October 16th, the act had been passed by Congress 10 days earlier. And in sports, 1981, welterweight boxer Sugar Ray Leonard knocks out Thomas the Hitman Hearns in the 13th round to unify the boxing's middleweight title. Leonard was behind on all three judges' scorecards and fighting with one eye closed when he delivered a right hand to his opponent's head that sent Hearns crashing to the canvas. Today in history from History.com for September 16th, 2015. Well, we make our own history here, and one of the most unfortunate pieces of history in Hunterdon County is the murder of John Nico. And Sally Graziano reported on the 15th that the jury selection to begin in Raritan Township murder trial. And so jury selection for the trial of Gary Passarelli, who has been indicted in the 2013 killing of Raritan Township resident John Nico, is scheduled to begin on September 29th. His trial is set to start on October 19th. Passarelli, who's 42 of North Plainfield, rejected the most recent plea deal during a June 9th pretrial hearing before Judge Angela Borkowski. He faces charges of first-degree murder, second-degree possession of a weapon, which was a dumbbell and a knife, for an unlawful purpose, and third-degree possession of a controlled substance, which was ketamine. Under the plea deal, Passarelli would have faced 30 years in prison for the murder charge. The court could impose a more severe sentence if he's convicted, Borkowski said at the time. Nico, 35, was found dead in his Sunridge townhouse in Raritan Township on May 31st, 2013, by police, who were contacted by a co-worker. Authorities said that Nico was beaten and stabbed. Passarelli and Nico were longtime friends, and the intersection between their friendship and Passarelli's previous run-ins with police was a reason Passarelli was named a suspect. He was indicted by a Hunterdon County grand jury on November 21st, 2013. In August 2014, Passarelli tried to have his four-hour-long statement to police suppressed. A judge denied the motion. Passarelli's trial was originally scheduled to begin in February. The trial was then scheduled to begin in April, but the public defender representing Passarelli found that he wouldn't be available. Passarelli got a new attorney, Edward Hesketh, an attorney who works with the public defender's office, who asked for more time to prepare for his defense. Passarelli is being held in the Mercer County Jail. Usually don't like to bring up those types of focus, but it was such a poignant and unfortunate moment in Hunterdon County in the recent memory, and some of us knew or at least had an acquaintance with John Nico, and so it's important to let people know that things are progressing, despite the fact that they always seem to take so long. On to better news, Representative Lance visits the Clinton Fire with news of a federal grant. So Sally Graziano reported on the 15th that U.S. Representative Leonard Lance brought some happy news to the Clinton Fire Department on Monday. He and Mayor Janice Kovach visited to spread word that the fire department has received a nearly $167,000 federal grant through the Department of Homeland Security. The money will buy 15 to 18 new self-contained breathing apparatus units for the department, said Chief Walter Dorf. Quote, they will replace units that are reaching their life expectancy next year, he said. He had high praise for Kovach, Lance, and other legislators who worked hard to get that grant. It means so much to have their support, Dorf said. Clinton is one of only two departments being awarded a combined $238,573 in federal assistance to the firefighter grant to improve safety and operations. Harrison Fire Department in Hudson County is the other one. The AFG program is administered by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, known as FEMA. And finally, for this moment, demolition of the Kingwood Bridge could begin on Wednesday. We've been waiting for this to happen, and another poignant moment in our Hunterdon County recent history. Preparations are underway to demolish the collapsed bridge on Route 519 near Byram Kingwood Road. Sally Graziano on the 15th reported that Joe Grand of the Hunterdon County Energy Engineering Division was at the north end of the bridge approach on Tuesday morning, marking control points that will be checked when aligning the new bridge with the existing road. The center lines need to match up, he said. The actual removal of the collapsed bridge should start on Wednesday, said Hunterdon County Public Works Director Tom Matthews. The bridge has been out of commission since the afternoon of June 12, 2014, when a heavy crane owned by Sky High Crane of South Plainfield went across the bridge and collapsed it. The bridge is a dual bridge. Its name is K110, K111, because it actually has two spans, two distinct spans, over the Luckatong Creek. The crane owner was ticketed and later paid fines totaling almost $3,000. But spans were on the list for replacement before the accident because of the span's age and deterioration. The project's been a complicated one to plan, mainly because of the two types of bridges being replaced. One is steel and the other is a concrete three-barrel arch. The targeted completion date is April 1st, but the contract includes incentives for finishing early. Hopefully, that will take place, barring, of course, weather. You always know about weather, don't we? All right, so we're going to take a break, do a station ID. We'll be right back with more of Good Morning Hunter in just a few minutes.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up, you surely want to exhibit, something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
This is Megan Jones-Holt. the radio host of the Rotary Hour, and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. And we're back. It's good morning. Honored in, Honored Chamber Radio. Again. Everybody tries to put some love on the line. Just things to talk about still. And one of the I normally try to do on this segment is give more news related items for Hunterdon County. But quite honestly, there's just a ton of community info events, so I get those to you. It's still our news, but it's a little bit different spin on what we're trying to do. So we'll get to some of these now, and I'll do sports, and then we'll do some of these later again. The 103-100th celebration is back in news, and September Heritage Happenings and October Offerings, so let's catch you up. I'm so glad that the 103-100th continues to celebrate, even though we've finished the tricentennial. If unable to attend the four-course 19th-century dinner at T-Berry's Tea Room, then make a reservation for Thursday, September 17th for the 20th-century dinner. Must-have reservations, call 908-788-1010, as entree choice needs to be pre-ordered. On September 24th, reserved for the 21st-century dinner, complete menu offerings can be found at T-Berry's website, tberries.com. Somehow we didn't really get all the info on the 19th century, but you got 20th and the 21st century. The 300th partners with the Hunterdon Historical Society to cover a grave topic, the second annual cemetery seminar. Is that how you pronounce that? On Saturday, September 19th, the second annual cemetery seminar. Oh, seminar. Oh, that's cute. I like that. Early burial grounds in Hunterdon County will be held from 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Flemington Presbyterian Church, 10 East Main Street in Flemington. The Hunterdon County Historical Society's partnership with the 300th presents a fascinating day talking about the grave topic. Delaware Township's historian emerita, Marfy Goodspeed, will deliver the keynote on those disappearing burial grounds that every old farm in Hunterdon had once upon a pre-development time. Authors of New Jersey Cemeteries and Tombstones History in the Landscape, Dr. Richard Veit and Mark Nunnesteed, will be the afternoon's featured speakers following a panel discussion on how to protect and preserve ancient farm burial grounds. The panel discussion will include the following people: former State Senator Marcia Caro, Joanne Burns, Esquire, planner Frank Banish, Mount Amwell Project founder Dave Redding, and yet-to-be-named cemetery owner. Afterwards, there will be a number of breakout sessions in the cemetery on various topics, including both Revolutionary and Civil War veterans' graves, how to clean and restore headstones, how to properly light headstones for photography, and the state DEP will demonstrate the use of ground-penetrating radar. Breakout session leaders include historians John Kuehl, Leslie and Bob Leith, John Allen, John O'Brien, and from the state DEP, Michelle Kuhn and Mike Gugliano. The day will be moderated and hosted by Hunterdon County Historical Society President Charlie Fisher. It's only a coincidence that he is also the director of a funeral parlor, or is it? Come and go as you please. Come for the lectures, the panel discussions, the cemetery tours, or just to come to meet and greet like-minded people, or stay for the day. There's a $10 registration fee, which covers all snacks and a sandwich lunch. Mail or drop-off checks through the mail slot at the 103-100th care of Flemington Choir School, 3 Chorister Place, Flemington 08822.
Sean Spicer said the media is driving the story.
If the president puts Russian salad dressing on his salad tonight, somehow that's a Russian connection.
U.S. intelligence agencies have accused Russia of meddling in the U.S. presidential campaign, and the FBI has confirmed it's investigating alleged links between Russian operatives and the Trump campaign.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
For years, Ovation Cell Therapy has been repairing dry, damaged, flat, lifeless hair. I use Ovation and love it. What are you waiting for? The unique breakthrough cell therapy treatment uses amino acids, key nutrients, and vital proteins to nourish the scalp and treat the hair from root to end. You won't find a treatment like cell therapy in any other hair care line, and it's guaranteed. Whether you have wavy hair, tight curls, flat hair, damaged hair, Ovation has a cell therapy system just right for you. Get your healthy hair back. Now is the perfect time at OvationHair.com.
It's the perfect time in cell therapy because Ovation is celebrating its 10-year anniversary, and they're offering you 15% off everything. But the party ends this week. Go to OvationHair.com, and new customers should select USA News at checkout. That's OvationHair.com. Be quick. 15% off ends this week.
Defiance from Democratic Mayor of Chicago Rahm Emanuel, who vows his city will stand with other cities as safe harbors for immigrants in the face of a Justice Department threat to cut federal funds to sanctuary cities. David Stewart reports from Chicago.
Mayor Emanuel says Chicago and other sanctuary cities are on firm legal ground to prevent the Justice Department from financially punishing them for not helping with deportation. Emanuel says their threat to take money away is hollow, since the Justice Department itself is losing funds.
And I find it a little ironic. They said they're going to withhold monies on public safety. Did you look at the president's budget he introduced? He actually cut the Justice Department. So this is kind of like, in my view, a bit of a joke in that sense.
Emanuel says Chicago will remain welcoming to immigrants.
Meanwhile, the nation's biggest police union's warning President Trump not to cut federal grants to sanctuary cities. Fraternal Order of Police Executive Director Jim Pasco says they don't like sanctuary cities, but cutting that funding could hurt police departments. This is USA Radio News.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh, man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. I scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. You know what doesn't make sense? If a car is called a horseless carriage, why isn't a motorcycle horse? Maybe it would just be adding insult to injury for the out-of-work horses.
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
A Tennessee couple facing child abuse charges after allegedly trying to sell their infant on Craigslist. According to the Greene County Sheriff, John Kane and Deanna Greer were both charged with aggravated child abuse and aggravated child neglect. Deputies say the couple posted an ad on Craigslist to sell the five-month-old child for $3,000. Undercover state agents responded to the ad on Friday. After the transaction took place, the pair were immediately arrested. Kane and Greer are currently in custody on a $150,000 bond. The infant is in state custody. Switching gears, you know, you could buy your own zoo if you have the big bucks to spare to do it, as we hear from Mark Mayfield.
One is for sale outside Houston for just $7 million. The zoo's 80-year-old owner says it's time to retire, and he wants to hand it over to someone who's willing to keep his animals safe. The 30-year-old Bayou Wildlife Zoo features 500 animals, including giraffes, zebras, a white rhino, ostriches, alligators, kangaroos, and ring-tailed lemurs, among others.
More than 100,000 people sign a petition telling First Lady Melania Trump to move to the White House or pay for security at Trump Tower herself. The Change.org petition got started after the White House said the president's wife and 10-year-old son will be staying in New York City until the school year ends. If you're listening to us on a regular radio right now, also find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio, and Chris Barnes.
This is Jeannie O.C., financial advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Pat and Heidi and Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to Good Morning, Hunterdon. HuntingChamberRadio.com. A little BB King.
The thrill is gone, baby. The thrill is gone away.
I don't know if the thrill is gone, but BB makes it sound
you know
that way.
You done me wrong, baby.
We have plenty to talk about, and first thing we usually do on the second hour is we do a little Today in History. Let's delve into a little history from history.com for September 16, 2015. The lead story is 1932. On this day, in his cell at Yerovda Jail near Bombay, Mohandas Gandhi begins a hunger strike in protest of the British government's decision to separate India's electoral system of caste. An iconic move that represented a lot of the historical things that Gandhi did. In 1776, General George Washington arrives at Harlem Heights. On the northern end of Manhattan, it takes command of a group of retreating Continental troops. The day before, 4,000 British soldiers had landed at Kipps Bay in Manhattan near present-day 34th Street. Wonder if they were taking in the site of the Empire State Building. Or going to the Madison Square Garden. And taking control of the island. Driving the Continentals north, where they appeared to be in disarray prior to Washington's arrival. 1908, on this day, Buick Motor Company head William Crapo Durant spends $2,000 to incorporate General Motors in New Jersey. Durant, a high school dropout, had made his fortune building horse-drawn carriages, and in fact, he hated cars. He thought they were noisy, smelly, and dangerous. Nevertheless, the giant company he built would dominate the American auto industry for decades. 1950, on this day, Soviet representatives condemn an essay written writing contest sponsored by the United Nations. The incident, thought small, indicated that the Cold War was as much a battle of words as war of bombs and guns. It was in 1950 the Public Information Department of the United Nations hit upon an idea to stir interest among young people in the world of the United Nations, an essay contest. The theme of the contest was the veto. The question posed to the contestants was, has the rule of unanimity, the veto, prevented the United Nations from functioning in the political and security field? The question referred to the fact that the resolution in the UN's Security Council, which handled most important political and security issues, had to be approved by each of the so-called Big Five nations, the United States, the Soviet Union, Great Britain, France, and nationalist China. One negative vote by any of these nations would veto any action on the resolution. It was a particularly timely topic because in June 1950, the Korean War began when Communist North Korea invaded South Korea. The United States immediately asked the Security Council to approve the use of UN forces to repel the North Korean attack. The resolution passed only because the Soviet Union was absent that day in protest of the exclusion of the Communist China from the United Nations. In 1845, Phineas Wilcox is stabbed to death by fellow Mormons in Nauvoo, Illinois, because he believed to be a Christian spy. The murder of Wilcox reflected the serious and often violent conflict between the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and the surrounding communities. Joseph Smith, who founded the Mormon Church in 1830, had been living with his followers in Missouri, where they had various conflicts with locals, including the armed skirmish with the state militia. And in 1838, Governor Lilburn Boggs signed a military order directing that the Mormons be expelled or exterminated. The Mormons must be treated as enemies and must be exterminated as driven from the state, if necessary for the public good. Wow. 2013, it's sad that something as recent as this makes today in history, but it was on this day a 34-year-old man goes on a rampage yard in Washington, D.C. He killed 12 people and wounded several others over the course of an hour before he is fatally shot by police. Investigators later determined that the gunman, Aaron Alexis, a computer contractor for a private information technology firm, had acted alone. 1978, an extremely deadly earthquake rocks Iran, killing more than 25,000 people. The 7.7 magnitude quake struck the northeastern part of the country, an area that has traditionally seen much seismic activity. 1620, most of us remember it landing, but very few remember it sailing from Plymouth, England, and that's the Mayflower. It was bound for the New World with 102 passengers. The ship was headed for Virginia, where the colonists, half religious dissenters and half entrepreneurs, had been authorized to settle by the British Crown. However, stormy weather and navigational errors forced the Mayflower off course, and on November 21st, the Pilgrims reached Massachusetts. They found the first permanent European settlement in New England in late December. Funny, what would it have been like if they were actually arrived in Virginia? How would the country have been affected? In 1810, Miguel Hidalgo y Castilla, a Catholic priest, launches the Mexican War of Independence with the issuing of his Grito de Dolores, or Cry of Dolores, the revolutionary tract so named because it was publicly read by Hidalgo at the town of Dolores, called for the end of 300 years of Spanish Mexico, redistribution of the land, and racial equality. Thousands of Indians and mestizos flocked to Hidalgo's banner of Virgin of Guadalupe, and soon the peasant army was on the march towards Mexico City. 1993, holy cow, it's 22 years ago, Frasier, a spinoff of the long-running mega-hit series Cheers, makes its debut on NBC. It will go on to air for 11 seasons and win multiple Emmy Awards. Frasier star Kelsey Grammer, as the erudite, snobbish Dr. Frasier Crane, is a radiologist who relocates from Boston to his hometown of Seattle following the breakup of his marriage. The main characters in Frasier's life are his father, Martin, a down-to-earth retired cop, his younger brother, Niles, a psychiatrist who shares Frasier's taste for the finer things in life, his father's kooky caretaker, Daphne, his radio show producer, Roz, and his father's dog, Eddie. That was a pretty good show, wasn't it? In 1893, on this day, the largest land run in history, 100,000 people pouring into the Cherokee Strip of Oklahoma to claim valuable land that had once belonged to the Native Americans. With a single shot from a pistol, the mad dash began, and land-hungry pioneers on horseback and in carriages raced forward to stake their claim to the best acres. Could you imagine doing something like that today? My goodness. 1940, President Franklin did the Selective Service and Training Act, which requires all male citizens between the ages of 26 and 35 to register for the military draft. Beginning on October 16th, the act had been passed by Congress 10 days earlier. And in sports, 1981, welterweight boxer Sugar Ray Leonard knocks out Thomas the Hitman Hearns in the 13th round to unify the boxing's middleweight title. Leonard was behind on all three judges' scorecards and fighting with one eye closed when he delivered a right hand to his opponent's head that sent Hearns crashing to the canvas. Today in History from History.com for September 16th, 2015. Well, we make our own history here, and one of the most unfortunate pieces of history in Hunterdon County is the murder of John Nico. And Sally Graziano reported on the 15th that the jury selection to begin in Raritan Township murder trial. And so jury selection for the trial of Gary Passarelli, who has been indicted in the 2013 killing of Raritan Township resident John Nico, is scheduled to begin on September 29th. His trial is set to start on October 19th. Passarelli, who's 42 of North Plainfield, rejected the most recent plea deal during a June 9th pretrial hearing before Judge Angela Borkowski. He faces charges of first-degree murder, second-degree possession of a weapon, which was a dumbbell and a knife, for an unlawful purpose, and third-degree possession of a controlled substance, which was ketamine. Under the plea deal, Passarelli would have faced 30 years in prison for the murder charge. The court could impose a more severe sentence if he's convicted, Borkowski said at the time. Nico, 35, was found dead in his Sunridge townhouse in Raritan Township on May 31, 2013, by police, who were contacted by a co-worker. Authorities said that Nico was beaten and stabbed. Passarelli and Nico were longtime friends, and the intersection between their friendship and Passarelli's previous run-ins with police was a reason Passarelli was named a suspect. He was indicted by a Hunterdon County grand jury on November 21, 2013. In August 2014, Passarelli tried to have his four-hour-long statement to police suppressed. A judge denied the motion. Passarelli's trial was originally scheduled to begin in February. The trial was then scheduled to begin in April, but the public defender representing Passarelli found that he wouldn't be available. Passarelli got a new attorney, Edward Hesketh, an attorney who works with the public defender's office, who asked for more time to prepare for his defense. Passarelli is being held in the Mercer County Jail. Usually don't like to bring up those types of focus, but it was such a poignant and unfortunate moment in Hunterdon County in the recent memory, and some of us knew or at least had an acquaintance with John Nico, and so it's important to let people know that things are progressing, despite the fact that they took so long. On to better news, Representative Lance visits the Clinton Fire with news of a federal grant. So Sally Graziano reported on the 15th that U.S. Representative Lance brought some happy news to the Clinton Fire Department on Monday. He and Mayor Janice Kovach visited to spread word that the fire department has received a nearly $167,000 federal grant through the Department of Homeland Security. The money will buy 15 to 18 new self-contained breathing apparatus, department, said Chief Walter Dorf. Quote, they will replace units that are reaching their life expectancy next year, he said. He had high praise for Kovach, Lance, and other legislators who worked hard to get that grant. It means so much to have their support, Dorf said. Clinton is one of only two departments being awarded a combined $238,573 in federal assistance to the firefighter grant to improve safety and operations. Harrison Fire Department in Hudson County is the other one. The AFG program is administered by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, known as FEMA. And finally, for this moment, demolition of the Kingwood Bridge could begin on Wednesday. We've been waiting for this to happen, and another poignant moment in our Hunterdon County recent history. Preparations are underway to demolish the collapsed bridge on Route 519 near Byram Kingwood Road. Sally Graziano on the 15th reported that Joe Grand of the Hunterdon County Engineering Division was at the north end of the bridge approach on Tuesday morning, marking control points that will be checked when aligning them with the existing road. The center lines need to match up, he said. The actual removal of the collapsed bridge should start on Wednesday, said Hunterdon County Public Works Director Tom Matthews. The bridge has been out of commission since the afternoon of June 12, 2014, when a heavy crane owned by Sky High Crane of South Plainfield went across the bridge and collapsed it. The bridge is a dual bridge. Its name is K110, K111, because it actually has two spans, two distinct spans, over the Luckatong Creek. The crane owner was ticketed and later paid fines totaling almost $3,000. But spans were on the list for replacement before the accident because of the span's age and deterioration. The project's been a complicated one to plan, mainly because of the two types of bridges being replaced. One is steel and the other is a concrete three-barrel arch. The targeted completion date is April 1st, but the contract includes incentives for finishing early. Hopefully that will take place, barring, of course, weather. You always know about weather, don't we? All right, so we're going to take a break, do a station ID. We'll be right back with more of Good Morning Hunter in just a few minutes.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up, you surely want to exhibit, something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time. And we're back. It's good morning. Honored and Honored Chamber Radio again. Everybody tries to put some love on the line. And everybody. Lots of things to talk about still. And one of the I normally try to do on this segment is give more news related items for Hunterdon County. But quite honestly, there's just a ton of community info events. So I get those to you. It's still our news, but it's a little bit different spin on what we're trying to do. So we'll get to some of these now, and I'll do sports, and then we'll do some of these later again. The 103-100th celebration is back in the news, and September Heritage Happenings and October Offerings, so let's catch you up. I'm so glad that the continues to celebrate, even though we've finished the tricentennial. If unable to attend the four-course 19th-century dinner at Teaberry's Tea Room, then make a reservation for Thursday, September 17th for the 20th-century dinner. Must-have reservations, call 908-788-1010, as entree choice needs to be pre-ordered. On September 24th, reserved for the 21st-century dinner, complete menu offerings can be found at Teaberry's website, teaberrys.com. Somehow we didn't really get all the info on the 19th century, but you got 20th and the 21st century. The 300th partners with the Hunterdon Historical Society to cover a grave topic, the second annual cemetery seminar. Is that how you pronounce that? on Saturday, September 19th. The second annual cemetery seminar. Oh, that's cute. I like that. Early burial grounds in Hunterdon County will be held from 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Flemington Presbyterian Church, 10 East Main Street in Flemington. The Hunterdon County Historical Society is partnership with the 300th presents a fascinating day talking about the grave topic. Delaware Township's historian emerita, Marfie Goodspeed, will deliver the keynote on those disappearances.